I can bear witness to the fruit that the Deacon Blessing Fund provides for our church family and those outside of our church family. So that is important, and also appreciate the deacons being good stewards of those funds. Well, good morning, folks. My name is Mike O'Fallon. I am your pinch hitter this morning. Poor Pastor Tim is just knocked off his feet this morning with illness, so he sent me his notes, and I'll be doing my best to read from them, but just know, you know, these words are not mine. If you have a problem with any of them, Tim's email address is tim@hazelwoodbaptist.com. I'm sure he'd be glad to hear from you. No, in all seriousness, like Hope said, it doesn't really matter if Tim wrote these words or if I'm speaking them. I'm a firm believer in the sovereignty of God. If we are faithful to his word is what speaks to us. His word does the work. Amen? All right, so the last several weeks, we have been going through a series titled Voices of the Heart, and we've been covering different emotions throughout that time. And, you know, up to this point, and I think including this week, most of the emotions that we've covered, most would classify as negative emotions. I don't know who likes thinking about anger or guilt or today's fear. Not always emotions we think of in a positive light. But hopefully what you've been seeing throughout this series is how God can use our emotions. It's not necessarily the emotions themselves that are good or ill, but our reaction to them and how we act upon them. As we talk about fear, think about some of the things you're afraid of, things that freeze you, that grip you. Indiana Jones was afraid of snakes. Snakes. Why does it have to be snakes? Something Tim had in his notes, which I wasn't aware of, Serena Williams, famous tennis player, world champion, performs in front of millions of people, all eyes on her. Apparently, she's afraid of the dark. Something most of us get over as kids, but something that still bothers her. Mike O'Fallon, afraid of public speaking. In all seriousness, fear can be a good thing. Psalm 111 says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord, that's always been a curious phrase to me. I was raised in the church and always taught Jesus loves you, God loves you. Why do I need to fear him? But then other times I think about how powerful our God really is. Right? I mean, he spoke the universe into being with a word. Thinking about power, a little 9-volt battery has a little bit of power in it. You touch it to your tongue, and you get that little spark. Once you've done it once, someone says, hey, touch this to your tongue. You know what it's going to feel like, and you've got a little bit of fear from that little bit of power. Stick your finger in a light socket. That's more power, a little bit more fear, right? A little bit more respect for that degree of power. And then you think about things like the sun. We're 93 million miles away from the sun, and still we can feel its intensity, its power. And yet God is the one that created all these things by simply speaking them into being. All the suns and all the galaxies and the entire universe, all that power is still measurable. It might be a number of watts that we can't even conceive of. The number is so high, it feels like infinity, but it's not. It's still finite. And yet God's power is infinite. infinite power. That is a power I do not want to be on the wrong side of. When the Psalms say, the fear of the Lord can drive us to wisdom, how do we marry these different thoughts together? For me, if I fear the Lord, His power, His wrath, I don't want to be on the wrong side of it. What does that fear drive me towards? It drives me to understanding Him better. It drives me into the Word so that I can read about what He has done for me. Throughout the Old and New Testament, the Israelites praise the Lord for being their protector, their refuge. He is not someone to be feared when He calls you yours. It's evident by what He has done for us in Jesus. But this sermon is not about the Psalms. We're actually going to go to 2 Timothy today. So if you would open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to cover verses 3 through 14 with a special focus on verse 7, a deep dive into that. So if you have found that, if you got it, say, it's kind of weak. If you're like me, you know, when I'm sitting out there, I know it's going to be up on the screen. I just read it off the screen. So we all got it. We all got it on the screen, right? All right. So I'm going to read verses 3 through 14. If you would please stand in reverence to God's word. All right. This is Paul writing to Timothy. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is God's word to us. All right, so focusing in on verse 7 there. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We're going to drill into each one of those phrases this morning. As we started talking about this emotion of fear, and what that can look like when it grips us, we can have some negative impacts. We can wind up cowering, defeated, hopeless. But God has something better for us. Let's go word by word in this, verse 7. For God. The context in this passage, the larger picture here, is one of goodbye. This is one of Paul's last letters. He's writing to a young pastor, Timothy. Some of Paul's letters are written to churches for exhortation, encouragement, instruction. This is a letter to an individual. He's already recognized Timothy's faith, his family's faith, and now he is instructing him further in his ministry. He's urging Timothy to guard the deposit of faith that was given to him, along with the gifts that he has. He's enabled to do this because of the gift of the Spirit given to him. The Spirit is what has enabled Paul to stand up in the face of persecution. It's a Spirit that God gave. God gave us a Spirit. God is the giver of things, no? We often think of his provision in terms of clothing, shelter, food, spiritual defenses. It's within his character to joyfully give. But Paul pivots away from that. He's not talking about physical needs in this passage. Paul is talking about not material goods, spiritual things. He gives us a Spirit. And then Paul goes on to describe that Spirit. And the first phrase he uses to describe it is not a negative, not one of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. There are things that we can have in our lives, emotions that we experience, circumstances we experience that are not from God. The fact that we live in a fallen world, we suffer the consequences of our own sin. We suffer the consequences of sin from those around us. We live in a broken world and we suffer through it. That is not a gift from God in the sense that this is what he wants for us. God does not give us a spirit of fear. It's something that we can fall victim to, but it's not. Paul is encouraging us to recognize fear does not come from the Lord. Spirit of inaction does not come from the Lord. Instead, Paul says, before I go there, there are times in Scripture where we see heroes of the Bible fall victim to fear. Moses wanted to run away from God's calling. Aaron fell victim to fear. He caved to the people's desire to have a false idol. The 10 spies that went out into the promised land to survey the land fell victim to fear. They came back unable to see how God would provide a way, unable to appreciate God's power. They fell victim to a spirit of fear. We all know how Peter reacted the night before Jesus was crucified. He cowered. He denied Jesus 3 times. Even beyond that, after the resurrection, and as Peter went on his evangelical pursuits, he continued to rely on, rely on Jewishness, rely on Jewish tradition and rituals, and he wanted to see folks follow the Jewish guidelines. He had to be rebuked for that. He was afraid to step out beyond that. But God's gift frees us from fear. The first thing that Paul talks about in counter to this is a spirit of power. Now, we talked about power a little while ago, about the power of God. how it can be intimidating and fearful. It's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul's not talking about using power or authority to get your own way or to bully people around. He's not talking about that sort of power. He's talking about power in spirit. The power to see the fruits of the Spirit lived out in our lives. We can overcome fear with this power. The power of the Spirit in us gives us the ability to overcome that fear that we have, to see the fruit of Christ in us lived out. Every once in a while, I have to stop and see where I am in his notes. Thanks for working with me. The Spirit gives us the power to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit gives us the power to trust. And the Spirit gives us the power to love. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love. Paul, his ministry was coming to an end. He said, he wrote, he's being poured out like a drink offering. He is giving everything to the Lord. We suffer for the sake of God's elect, he writes. Paul loves the church, and he's willing to suffer for them. Fear would have prevented Paul from pouring himself out. Fear would have kept him on the bench. But love, the spirit of love, keeps him in the game. When Paul could have stopped writing to all those churches, he practiced patience. When Paul could have flexed on everybody concerning his authority or spiritual experiences, he continued to demonstrate meekness and boasting of Christ, not of himself. Paul knows these churches' sinful hearts, but assumes the best in them over and over again as he addresses them as saints, brothers, the church, God's temple. Paul's love for the church endured to the end. He had a good example to follow, that of Christ. We look at the love of Christ in action, and Christ gave his all for us. As Lance just said earlier in John 3:16, it's a love in action. When God so loved the world, he loved the world in this way. And Christ's action, we see the night before he was crucified. We see some fear that was starting to become evident in Christ. It's recorded in the Gospels. As he's praying in the garden, he's begging his Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Spare me from this. He knows that within a matter of hours, he's going to be humiliated, beaten, horrible suffering, horrible pain. Hopefully none of us will ever experience anything close to that. But he endures it. He knows what's coming. And he asks, Father, spare this from me. It's clear that in his humanity, Christ is experiencing fear. But we all know that Christ did not sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He is perfect. And even though we can point to some expressions of Jesus' emotion In the Gospels, we see anger as he overturned tables in the temple courtyards. In this passage, we're seeing fear, but he never sinned. The last part of verse 7 is self-control. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And that's exactly what we saw Jesus do in the garden, is master his fear with self-control. Yes, he asked his Father to spare him, but he says, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. He lays that fear aside, does what he is called to do. Perfect example for us. Left out of control, our fear can be destructive. It leads to wars. It leads to disagreements and broken relationships. What are some other symptoms or companion emotions we see come along with fear? Anxiety, timidity, cowardice, insecurity. Tim had in his notes deceitfulness. I thought, well, that's an interesting one to include here. But yeah, when you're afraid of what someone else's opinion of you may be, you might just tell a little white lie. Just try to impress them a little bit. Or cover up a shortcoming of yourself. You might just invoke a little bit of deceitfulness if you're afraid of what someone might think of you. What are some of the ways that you all react when you're met with fear? Do you shut down? Run away? Stress and worry? Do you just get kind of mousy? Or maybe you just have self-confidence to cover it up. What's your go-to reaction when you're afraid? Courage, on the other hand, helps us overcome these fears. G.K. Chesterton, I have no idea who he is, just reading the notes. Hopefully he's a pretty good guy. But the quote is good here. It says, courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. Isn't that interesting? You've probably heard it said, you know, being brave or being courageous doesn't have anything to do with a lack of fear. The fear is right there. The courage comes to help you overcome it. And our courage comes from the Lord. Courage steadfastly holds onto what is good, whether facing pain or pleasure. Sometimes we need courage to fight against temptation. When that thing that comes across our path isn't, we're not fearing it, but it's tempting us. We hold on to that courage to overcome it. It resists the urge to withdraw or escape when confronted with hardships, difficulty, pain, even death. Stands firm against the lure of lesser rewards that might tempt us away from our duty. This is perseverance, endurance, fortitude. Courage is inherently tied to strength, particularly mental resilience and emotional stability. It embodies a resolute mind in the face of external threats and internal fears. Most importantly, biblical courage is rooted in the deep-seated knowledge that God is with us and is for us. With the assurance of his presence wherever we go, We need not fear our enemies, nor crumble before their power. Instead, we grow stronger in faith and act with obedience. Want to grow in courage today? Let's look to some examples of spirit-driven power, love, and self-control in the early church. Boy, were they persecuted, right? I mean, compared to the quote-unquote persecution the church endures in the United States today, that's nothing. Folks were thrown in prison, killed, martyred for their faith. I'm going to read a passage from Acts 4. It reads, "When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place.'" They saw that scenario of everyone coming against Jesus and yet still recognized the sovereign hand of God in all of it. That gave them courage. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed in the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So let's look at their example. They gathered, they prayed, they asked. So far this morning, we've got two of the three. We're gathered, we've prayed, we've given thanks to the Lord. Then they asked. They asked for continued courage. They wanted to see the good news spread. Let's ask God for that courage this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of power, of love, and self-control. You provide us courage. We ask you to prosper that courage in us. Courage to do what? Courage to see your good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, spread. Spread to our family, our friends, complete strangers, in our backyard, or across the ocean. Don't let our fear of embarrassment or persecution grab hold of us. Asking for your courage to reign in our hearts. Help us to spread your good news. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus every day of our lives. It's in his name we pray. Amen.